Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from my home on Bull Shoals Lake near Branson, Missouri. Iran and the Birth of Christ. I'm reading to you from a book that I edited for Lester Sumrall in 1980. Jihad, the Holy War, the Destiny of Iran and the Muslim World. This book, he was so far ahead of his time. We had people that were captured by Iran. They had attacked our embassy. They were being held. He wanted me to get it out. He wanted to get it out. And he asked me if I could do a book in a week. And I said, no one can. And he said, you can if you work night and day. We worked on it. He got it out. And it's right up to date today. You need information on Iran. So we're reading from this book, Iran and the Birth of Christ. Iran is one of the oldest nations in the Bible. When the Lord tells us, Jesus said, you watch the nations of Bible prophecy, Iran qualifies. Goes all the way back to the grandson of Noah. Iran and the birth of Christ. It's all, writes Lester. It's most remarkable how certain nations become biblically oriented, where the lineage of the nation can be traced similarly to the lineage of the family. It is also a lesson to learn that when God becomes involved with a person or a nation, they owe certain allegiances to Him. Also, when light comes across our pathway, we must live up to that light, or darkness comes into our lives or into our nations. We see that in the present nation of Iran, who in our time, 1935, was known as Persia, only then was it renamed Iran, a name which took it back 2,500 years to the time it was called Elam. This nation has had many opportunities to love God and to serve God, and it still has opportunities today. As Iran has been involved in Bible history from the time of Noah, it will continue to be a part of Bible prophecy until the kingdom of Christ is fulfilled. Wise men from Iran. Now, when Jesus was born, and I'm reading from Matthew 2, 1 and 2, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. It certainly has to do with the supernatural. How could they know a king was to be born? How could they know he was to be a king of the Jews? How could they be interested in a Jewish king? Why did they follow the star? Maybe they knew about Numbers 24:17. Quote, there shall come a star out of David, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Folks, this is Billy Brim talking here. I'm not exactly reading from the Lester's book here, but Daniel, it speaks in the Bible that when Babylon came over to capture the Jews, they had an office called Rab Mag, M-A-G. It's spelled in the English. Rab is head, or the chief mag. Or Magi. Later on, when Daniel was in Iran and he was promoted by the king, he became the Rab Mag. He became the chief Magi. So when the Magis came from the east, I believe that it goes all the way back to Daniel, and he had taught them to look for a star that would mark the Savior of the world. And so Iran is bound forever with the birth of the Savior of the world. The story of the wise men guarantees that the true story of the Savior of the world was told in the Persian land. Those wise men would not have left Bethlehem until Mary had told all, until Joseph had told all, until the scriptures from Isaiah were clearly explained how that a virgin would conceive and bear a child. So these brought enough wealth in their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the child to escape King Herod. And God used them to then for the Savior. Iran was present at the birth of the Christian church. When the Son of God was born on planet Earth, he came with direct and explicit instructions to save this planet from its sins. This was brought about through the Jewish nation. Christ was born into a Jewish family, but it was Iranians who came and brought the money to take them to safety and to support them during their moment of need. In Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus came and he made a promise. He died on the cross, he raised from the dead so that we could be cleansed and receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, came in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And you know the story. There was a mighty rushing wind, a sound of a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That the day had fully come. The Roman roads were ready for them to travel upon. The ships of the world were ready to carry them across the waves. The arsenals of the Roman Empire were ready to protect travelers. The world was ready. And so here came all the people to Jerusalem. They came on those Roman roads, and they came to celebrate the Feast of Shavuot, or Weeks, or Pentecost. They came to celebrate the feast that marked their receiving the Torah. And they were there from all over the whole world when those 120 were filled in that room. That upper room could not hold them anymore. They spilled over into the streets of Jerusalem. They came down to the temple where the mikvah were, and they preached that he had come. And there were 3,000 born again on that day. But the miracle was astounding, all that multitude that had come together, and they heard the people speaking with tongues and praising God. And they said, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And it names nations they had come from. Parthenian and Medes and Elamites are mentioned in verses 7 through 9. Other nations were named, but we will identify these three named first. The Parthenians were from the area called Pars, also called Fars, which is in southern Iran. The Medes were located in central Iran. The Elamites were from the southwestern Iran and the capital city of Shushan. The Iranians were there the day the church was born. When they went back home and began to plant the church in their own area, the church was planted in Persia. Tradition says that it was Andrew who lived in that area, that Bartholomew was a missionary to Armenia, that Thomas labored in Parthia, and Jude preached and died in Persia. They had living apostles. But Iran is not Christian today. It is Mohammedan. Thank God there's a move of God there. We hear there are 3 million Christians in Iran. Many of the Iranians fled when the Shah was deposed. And we had some wonderful people on our last tour. The gentleman was from Iran, and his family had fled when the Ayatollah Khomeini came. Why is Iran not Christian today? Why is it Mohammedan or Muslim? Jihad, holy war. I'm reading from chapter 8 of Lester's book. Webster's New World Dictionary defines jihad, quote, "A war by Muslims against unbelievers or enemies of Islam carried out as a religious duty. Beyond any doubt, among the shifting sands of the Arabian Peninsula, world destiny is being formed. It is very difficult for America to comprehend the vast importance of what is happening in the Near East at this time. Iran has made itself the capital of jihad." Now, Lester's writing in 1980. It's easier today for us to see these things. But when he wrote them then, he was way ahead of his time. Jerry Savelle told me, he said, when that book came out by Lester, The Holy War Jihad, he said, "I got a copy. I threw it aside. I said, Lester, what are you into now?" Oh, would that people had listened to Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall wrote, and thank God I had a chance to help him edit this book, which has informed me, educated me for my place in these last days. Lester writes, "Iran has made itself the center of jihad. Its total population is in a frenzy. Suddenly again emerges the Persian Empire. America's carnal Christians do not realize that the battles of our time are spiritual. In the whole vast world today, the true issues are spiritual. To understand jihad, one must know certain things about Islam. To know those things about Islam, one must know certain things about Muhammad and his times, the world of Muhammad. When Muhammad came on the scene of human activity, the power of Persia was devastated and gone, a bad memory. The Grecian Empire had sunk into decay and was no longer a world power. Even the Roman Empire lay at its lowest level in dust and defeat. The Dark Ages had settled over the Western world. The Bible was locked in the cloistered recesses of monasteries away from the common people. There were no other books, and only 15% of the population, Earth's population, could read or write. After the birth of the Christian church, the Fertile Crescent enjoyed a great thrust of spiritual growth and of the power of God. Many churches were formed, and the church grew in a wonderful and delightful way. But during the centuries, from the first century to the sixth, the church lost its emphasis, its zeal, its fervor. It ceased to grow, either materially or spiritually. The world was ripe for a revolutionary religion such as Islam to be born. And from the dusty wastes of Arabia, the people were ready for a prophet, good or bad. So often, when we are not in position to produce the person God wants to lead and guide, the devil will give counterfeits. So many times, the one that God wants is not available because people are not ready for such a one. Muhammad was born in 580 AD in the city of Mecca, 30 years before the end of the 6th century. He died in 632 AD at 62 years of age. The story of Muhammad is that of a child of misfortune. His father died 2 months before his birth. His mother died when he was 6. He was reared by his grandfather, who died later, and then by his uncle, Abu Talib. Abu was a businessman and a trader. His merchant caravans followed the Fertile Crescent from Iran to Egypt. Muhammad greatly enjoyed following these caravans with his uncle and his nephew, Ali. At the age of 25, Muhammad was a chief camel driver working for Khadija, a wealthy Jewish widow. 3 years later, he married her, although she was 20 years older than he. Owning a caravan was like owning a railroad or an airline today. He got to know personally faraway lands such as Syria, Palestine, Egypt. He had much time to visit, to talk, to listen about religion and about philosophy. For with his newly gained wealth and prestige, Muhammad pursued his consuming desire. He was constantly seeking for something that would satisfy his inner man. He was a thirsting man. Oh, if only someone could have met him and given him the real truth. He knew the Jews and Christians of his day. The Jews had ample opportunity to win Muhammad to the Jewish faith, to the true God, to the Ten Commandments. Though the contacts were many, this was not done. The Christian leaders also had many contacts with him. He probably sat in many of their services and listened to them. It could be that the inconsistency of their business practices and their lives could not convince him to follow their religion. He did not see a spirit or a power in either Jews or the Christians to convince him. But his writings show that he was influenced by them. He calls Abraham his father like the Jews call him their father. The Quran includes a strange story of Mary and the birth of Jesus. He often retired to a cave to meditate upon religion. One day he had a vision which changed his destiny. He decided he was a prophet sent from Allah. He considered himself one of 6 great prophets sent from Allah. He called Adam a prophet, which he was not. He called Noah a prophet, which he was. He called Abraham a prophet, Moses a prophet, and Jesus a prophet. Of himself, he said, I am the last of the great prophets. It is possible to stay alone and fabricate your own ideas until you get way out into desolation spiritually, thinking you are right. People living today have themselves way out in some corner into cults and error. The word of God is truth, and we have had it from the beginning of time. Muhammad heard voices. They came to him. He sent it, and the Bible tells us that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. So Muhammad heard voices. He went into a cave to seek God. They came to him not once or twice, but over a period of 23 years. He claimed the angel Gabriel dictated the Quran to him word by word. The Quran, according to Muhammad, annuls the Bible. In the name of the Lord, we're going to read a little bit more. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Our time's run out today. You can get the book Jihad from us by calling 1-800-972-3447. Be back with us tomorrow when we pick up from Jihad, the Holy War, the destiny of Iran, and the Muslim world. Shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.